Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Being joined in studio by DJ BNMA, covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. You can find him on Twitter at DJ BNMA. We were talking earlier, DJ. Thanks for hanging out with us, by the way. It takes a special person to hang out with us. Now, we were talking earlier about the Colts-Texans rivalry.
Yeah.
Is it real? Is it the biggest rivalry the Texans have? And where would it stack up amongst NFL rivalries?
Is it real? Yeah. Mainly because they literally knocked somebody, like their rival, out of the playoffs. And they're going to remember that. And they did it in Indianapolis. It wasn't like they did it at home or something. Or they beat some other team and they inadvertently knocked them out. They went into their place on primetime, knocked them out of the playoffs. So, of course, they're still holding on to that. I would say that's probably their biggest rival. And again, like, I think when you think about it, how it dates back, granted, I just got on the beat a couple years ago, but it felt like, even when from afar, when I was, you know, covering other teams or just being a fan of the NFL, the two teams that were legitimate in the AFC South were the Colts and the Texans. Whether it was the last few years of Peyton against Matthew Schaub or Matt Schaub. I said Matthew. Matt Schaub.
Keep it proper.
He's a doctor now.
Matt Schaub. The early years with Andrew Luck, and then Luck versus Watson, right? And now you have CJ versus Anthony Richardson. So I feel like just over the past decade, if there's going to be two teams that are legitimately vying for the AFC South, it's going to be those two teams. Yes, you had the Titans for that small little stretch, but for the most part, I always felt like the Texans versus the Colts. So I would say it's a legitimate rivalry. Now, where it ranks across the NFL, that depends. I don't think it has enough bad blood to be in that upper tier.
I think it's pretty low.
Yeah. Because there's just not enough, bad blood. Yeah.
And history, right? I mean, when you're talking about Packers, Bears, and long-term Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, Eagles.
All that.
Yeah.
Well,
Ravens, Steelers.
I'm curious, too, because we were talking about it on the show today, that they still got over $20 million in cash to play with. And you were right on it when we were both kind of feeling like Justin Simmons might be a guy that could really be a late add that could help this defense. Do you see certain spots or a spot or two to keep an eye on to say that, hey, with money to spend as we get down to the end of camps and or maybe some cap casualties or guys still out there, is there a position where you keep an eye on or two that say maybe that's a position where they could go out, spend some money, and get someone if they need to?
I would say linebacker, because Christian Harris obviously has been dealing with some nagging injuries, soft tissue injury. So maybe linebacker, because after Aziz and Harris, it really drops off. It really drops off just in terms of NFL experience. Yes, Henry Toto played last year. But after him, you have Jake Hansen, you have, Neville Hewitt, who's mainly been a special team guy. You have Jacob Phillips. So it really drops off there. But, and in the other spot for me, I'm always going to say offensive line. So I would say probably back another swing tackle and interior offensive line. Because again, hypothetically, let's say, God forbid, knock on wood, right? Let's say Shaq Mason missed some games. You have to throw somebody else out there, maybe somebody young or, just a regular backup. Now you have either inexperienced or a regular backup with a second year center and a third year guard who's only played two seasons. And it's not like Juice Scruggs played 17 games last year, only played seven. So now your interior offensive line could be an absolute mess. In that regard, so for me, is because the only thing that's going to derail this season from an offensive standpoint is the offensive line, right? The offense, for the most part, when CJ has time, he's able to get the ball to where he needs to go. So I have very little questions about CJ and the weapons around them and things of that nature. It's really just come down to can the offensive line stay healthy and kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, two-fifths of the offensive line, very inexperienced, that have questions. Yeah. DJ Bieniemy joining us in studio. I saw your tweet the other day whenever Diggs was, I guess, just tearing everybody up in practice. Man. And it led to the segment yesterday that popped off on our show. Is Diggs closer to wide receiver one than wide receiver three? I think I know your answer, but what have you seen with Diggs that leads him to be closer to wide receiver one than three?
It's just the way like they feature him in practice. It feels like the offense, the passing attack, flows through Diggs first, and everybody kind of eats off of that. So, that practice, I think it was Tuesday, that was the only – and, again, I've been coming to Texans since 2022, so I've seen – this is my third training camp. That was, for sure, the most dominant practice I've seen, and that was one of those practices that was as close to what Brandon Cooks was doing, like, 2022. Granted, he didn't have the season that, you know, he looked like he was going to have after that training camp, but just that pure, like, dominance where it's like, hey, give me the ball, I'm going to be able to make plays over and over and over and over. It's just that, you know, Diggs was, it was short game, intermediate game, deep down the field. It was just all over. And it feels like from a target standpoint, Diggs gets fed the most or gets targeted the most, then everybody else kind of fits in. So for me, at least to start out the year, that's what it feels like is going to be, where Diggs is going to get a lot of the targets. Going to be like first on the pecking order for targets.
Mm-hmm.
One, could they give up a second round pick? So they do want to get some value out of that. Whether they admit that or not, it's going to subconsciously play into your mind. And he's the most decorated, right? He's been multiple time all pro, 4-time pro bowler. He's like top five in a plethora of categories from a receiver since 2020. And he still looks like he has juice. So I think it's easily like, you know, it's Diggs. And then now you figure out where Nico and Tank kind of fit into that.
Let's keep going from there. Let's talk about the receiver room. We've talked about it previously. We know that it's really interesting on the back end of that receiver room because you went and traded for Skronik. You know that Robert Woods looks like he's still got something left in
the tank. He does, yeah.
Everybody's story that they're pulling for is Mechie, but Mechie's not getting the looks. He doesn't look like he's what anybody says that he was looking like in the offseason.
Right.
How does that receiver room shake out between now and the end of camp?
So my top four is still, you know, Tank, Diggs, Nico, Brown, because Brown's contract is guaranteed. So it is what it is there. You know, he hasn't practiced that much recently.
Hide him on the pup.
Possibly. Yeah, you could do that, and then you can keep, you know.
Keeps you one extra receiver.
Right. So that's actually not a bad idea. But even he looks pretty close. Like, he was running sprints recently. Like, he looks pretty close. So the last two, I still go Hutch and Mech. I still go those two.
So Skronik's going to be the odd guy out.
Yeah. I just haven't seen that much. I think with the new rules,
yeah,
the new kickoff rules, it kind of hurts them a little bit. Because, you know, before when you had people just running down speed, you know, just flying down there, it made sense. But with it being so stationary, I don't know. Like, you'd rather kind of have, like, guys that are legitimately who can tackle. Like, obviously, I'm not saying he can't tackle, but guys that can tackle, who have a little bit more size, who can just kind of bust through the blockers and get right there. Versus before, where you're just screaming down the field, where you can kind of wiggle through and navigate through. So the new changes could, ironically, hurt his value from a special team standpoint because, again, on punt, you know, they're going to have other guys there, probably some guys on defense, and kind of go from there. So I don't know how much special team value he still holds with the new kickoff rules. And, again, I'm only putting Mechie there because he's a second-round pick. But the last couple of practices, he has made a couple more plays that you kind of do want to see. So he's giving it more life, but I think the way D'Amico talked about Xavier Hutchinson yesterday kind of like sealed the deal. Like, they're mentioning things that he's doing in practice in big team meetings, you know, like they're not doing that by accident. D'Amico wouldn't prop a guy up like that and then cut him later.
And Woods would go then too.
Yeah, because it's more of a money standpoint. I think just in terms of like pure ability, like he's easily a top four guy, top five guy. But in terms of, you know, contract stuff, it just kind of, he might end up becoming Desmond King from last year, where Desmond King was running with the ones the entire, you know, camp, and then got cut at the end because TT had more guaranteed money. Tavier Thomas, that is. He had more guaranteed, I mean, TT had more guaranteed money, and there wasn't really much of a drop off there. And Desmond ended up getting cut, even though he ran with the ones the entire camp.
Yeah, because the way they've been using Woods is tricky to me. That's like what's throwing me off, because I agree with you. Like the money, like how many other players you have in the room, like it seems like the easy decision, yet they're holding him out of the Hall of Fame game. He's running with the ones and twos in the Steelers game, and then he's out of his pads by halftime. It's like, I wonder how much they think of him, right, which is kind of throwing me off, because I would agree that he would be kind of the odd man out. Which of these injuries should we be concerned about that might cost one of them a game or two for the regular season?
I mean, they got the O-line. The O-line's fairly healthy. I don't know if any of the injuries are worth that's going to cost them a game, right? You're talking about Harris.
Yeah.
Will?
I'm worried about ankles both times.
Cost you a game, though? The only ones that for me would cost you games is...
I'd be more worried about Harris than Will. But the thing with Will, not so much worried about him missing a game, but I don't love that his last two injuries are both ankles. It's ankles.
And I think that's totally fair. But I don't know that him being out will cost you a game.
No. I meant they'll miss a game. I probably phrased that poorly.
Okay. Yeah, I think you mean now.
Who's most likely to miss week one? Not cost you a game.
I see what you're saying.
Phrased it poorly. Which one is most likely to miss week one? Harris? Anderson?
Okay.
Is Anderson in jeopardy?
No. Harris is more likely. Yeah. Because soft tissue and the fact that he came back and couldn't even make it through group install. Ooh. On the field, and then he got hurt.
Group install. So, I mean, he wasn't even going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like, whoa, wow.
That's not good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'll say he's more likely than Will. I think Will will be fine. You know, I think they're just being cautious.
Who are we watching most in terms of guys that we have to pay attention to in the Giants game in terms of we've talked in the past before about Petrie, about, you know, guys that, I mean, being in the nickel. We talked about Pierce, I meant to say, from a running back
position,
you know, and Cam fitting into that mix too.
Yep.
But who are we looking at to see they need to earn their spot, or we got to see something out of them?
Okay, so earning their spot. So on the roster, I wouldn't say for on the roster, I think he'll be on the roster, but possibly in the starting role. I just want to see if Bullock continues to progress. I like what I've seen out of him. He has freakish ball hawking ability. Like, that's something that, like, you know, he's just born with that. And again, he played baseball, so he kind of has that center field.
You can see the way he covers.
Yeah, exactly. And he's 6'3". Like, he's like a legitimate 6'3". You know, he's not one of those, like, the school puts you at 6'3" when you're really 6 foot.
And cleats.
Yeah. He's like a legitimate 6 long ranging 3. So I just want to see what he continues to do. Because, again, like, he could end up getting you would want him to be in the starting lineup eventually, right? He's third, he's a third round pick. He's young, cost effective. Obviously, Jimmy Ward's a free agent after this year. Eric Murray be a free agent after this year. So I would say, you know, he's one guy I want to see. I want to see if he continue to progress so he can eventually become a starter. Because I think that's what's kind of trending, like he can end up becoming a starter. And then I do want to see what Pierce looks like with a healthy offensive line. Same with Joe Mixon. Because it, you know, it look, I want to see, is it because the D line is so dominant? That's why you can't really run the ball in practice, or is it going to be an issue throughout the year?
Mm-hmm.
So those are two players that I'm kind of looking at, but just how the run game looks with the starting offense. Cause that's going to be, if the Giants play their starting D line, that is as good as a D line you're going to see. Burns, Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's as good as you're going to get across the league. So if you can get some success there, all right, cool. If you can't get success there, then it's going to might be a situation where it's just kind of a lot on CJ and similar as last year. So those kind of things I'm most looking at. Oh, and even the last, like, I kind of want to see how Henry Toa does if he's running with the ones, just because, again, like, if there's a chance that we're going to, you know, probably miss Harris for the first week or two, then we got to see how Henry looks stepping into that role.
Yeah, that's scary, because I'm with you. I think the linebacker depth is the weakest, especially on the defense, maybe the whole team. And if Harris has to miss a week or two, I wonder if they'll be active in the cutdowns around the league. DJ, appreciate the time. Enjoy tomorrow's game. It might be a little warm with the roof panels.
I'll be inside.
Oh, yeah, I know. You'll be in the press box. You're more curious about the media dining.
Way up there.
Maybe the media dining will be good tomorrow.
Oh, you know, it's not, they probably kill me for this, but It's not that good in preseason. You know, it's funny. Like, Lindsay gets on me all the time about it. Like, she's like, "Oh, our food's so great." It's all right.
They do good in the playoffs.
They showed up in the playoffs.
They showed up in the playoffs.
DJ, you got to be careful when you make comments about air conditioning.
All right, John.
They can come back and get all right, you, McClain. Bite you in the butt.
All right, McClain.
All right, DJ. Appreciate it. DJ will be joining us each and every Friday throughout the NFL season as we count down the days to the start of the regular season. Cannot get here fast enough. All right, who are your favorite non-superstar players in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are your favorite non-superstar players in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. Blankers, which Rocket is your favorite non-superstar player in Houston sports history?
Man, I mean, it's the easiest one for me to answer. There's so many. Like, it depends on, like, what your level is in terms of success. Because you could go Robert Horry or Mario Elie. Or you could go, in the more modern era, Shane Battier or Luis Scola. And if you had, like, a favorite, like, Scotty...
Scola's on my list.
Yeah, Scola was definitely high on my... Battier's a guy that I think everyone just loved because he did the dirty work. Like, Mario.
These guys are good. Like, I feel like these guys are too good to be... I mean...
Are they?
Like, I mean, non-superstar, I guess... I mean, yeah, I mean, they're not superstars. Maybe I'm getting, like, too role player-y with my guys. Because you're right. Those guys aren't superstars. I concede.
But is it better to say non-starter?
I mean, I think both conversations are fun.
Yeah.
The non-starters are more obscure, for sure.
Because I got four really obscures that I think that are great.
Let's just do both. Okay. So, I love Scola. I love Battier more than Scola. I like Battier more than Scola.
See, I think that, too. I think my top two those are beloved, those two guys.
My top two are actually Rockets, and Scola was one of them, but okay. Go ahead.
Wow.
And then the kind of more obscures would be the Chucky Brown, Pete Chilcutt.
Chilcutt was great.
Matt Bullard and Scotty Brooks.
I wouldn't call Bullard obscure. But it still fits the criteria.
Yeah.
Chucky Brown and who is it? Pete Chilcutt.
Yep.
Like, just not very good power forwards.
Yeah.
But combined, they did, like DJ was just talking about, with guys that just have to do just enough to be certain. They both combined that one year. And Charles Jones is in that mix, too.
Charles Jones.
Charles Jones just came in to give up fouls and try and get a few rebounds and then grab a six-pack and go home. Did enough.
Otis Thorpe torched the Knicks in the 94 championship, says 0-1-3-1.
Thorpe made an all-star game, though.
I shook Otis Thorpe's hand once, and he tickled my elbow as he was doing it. That dude's hands are incredible.
Yep.
That's why he could palm the basketball and outlet pass it. Like
he was a great outlet passer.
He was the best outlet passer I've ever seen.
Threw it like
I legitimately, I sincerely think that.
Yeah, everybody thinks Kevin Love is the best outlet passer. Then you didn't see Otis Thorpe because he could grab it like a baseball and just throw it right on a dime.
He was incredible. His outlet, he was unbelievable, his outlet passes. 0105 says Mucci Norris. If I'm going obscure Rockets, I like the white boy super crew.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever the Yao Ming and T-Mac, Bob Sura,
Scott
Barry off the bench, Scott Padgett
yep.
Was part of that. Those were the three. Was there one more that I'm missing from the white boy super crew?
Padgett, Barry,
Sura.
I think it was Sura. Those three.
I think that's it.
I don't think there was a fourth.
I think that's probably right.
I think that's right.
I liked Boki Nokbar way more than I should have.
No, because of the play on Malone.
No,
where
I liked
the jersey.
I liked him before that, but that cemented his legacy even greater.
That was one of the greatest bobbleheads you guys ever did. I still have the bobblehead where he's Nokbar holding a piece
Twitter?
Of Malone's jersey.
That was awesome.
You see on Twitter today that he posted his daughter is on the 16U national team for Serbia. I was like, well, that'll make you feel old in a heartbeat.
The Chuck Wagon.
That was the other one. It was Luis Scola and Chuck Hayes.
That's
those are my two favorites.
I loved me some Chuck Hayes.
Especially
Chuck
the graphic
awesome.
You guys would put up in the arena with the Chuck Wagon going across the screen whenever he would get a bucket.
But just think about how awful he was at the free throw line, how
he was
bad
terrible.
The form was.
Yeah.
But yet when you needed a rebound or a low post defender, Chuck Hayes was always there.
Was it Van Gundy that would use him on the perimeter too? Like, he used him to guard LeBron.
Maybe.
They used him on LeBron.
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible. Was Novak part of the group with Barry and Sura? And
it might have been.
I think it might have been that he might have been the fourth guy.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
I'm
remember, he had the one moment in the 22-win season or 23 in a row when they blew a big lead against Sacramento, and he made the three right before the buzzer that saved the day and kept the streak alive. We were just like, well, there's Steve Novak's career moment.
I love Dikembe here. Whenever he
was fun.
When he was Yao's backup.
Yeah, that was fun.
Like, he might be too good for this conversation, but he was a backup here.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Backup here. I believe he is.
Yeah, I think he's already in.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. That's the it's weird because he's a Hall of Famer, but I still think he fits.
The basketball Hall of Famer.
Because the part of his career he was in, he was here, he was not a Hall of Fame player at that point.
The thing is I think that he's now the all-time leader in block shots, or because Olajuwon held it.
Olajuwon's still the leader.
He moved up to two.
Like I don't even know if he's that high, but he's pretty high.
But the biggest problem is they only started counting some of these stats at a certain point where a lot of
Wilt doesn't get the credit. Yeah, Russell doesn't block get the shots credit. And all
that. Yeah, blocks weren't a stat for those guys.
Right.
That's why. I mean, Olajuwon would still be high, but he probably wouldn't be number one. They've combined like the NBA and ABA records. I want to see where Dikembe's at now, all time in blocks. I want to say he's like fifth. He's second. He's second.
That's what I thought so.
He's second. Number two. There you go.
That covers most of the Rockets, right?
I actually had two more Rockets.
Okay.
You got
Carl Landry and Carlos Herrera.
Go Cougs.
Amigo.
I love those unsung. Two guys. Two other – it seems like we're naming a lot of power forwards, but two other power forwards that did the dirty work, didn't need to get the ball a ton. I liked watching those guys play a lot.
That's cool.
Ryan Bowen says 2831. He was part of the white boy crew, he says.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't Novak. It was Ryan Bowen.
And then 9900 says Kelvin Cato is his list.
Nope.
All right, what about football role players? Somebody said Brian Cushing. I feel like he was a superstar.
I had him on my list.
Superstar. He was a first-round pick.
I guess there was two different Brian Cushings, though.
Oh, boy.
What did I do? What did I say?
David Anderson was one of mine. I like David Anderson.
Yeah.
He had one season where he had like 500 receiving yards or something around there where he was a pretty decent part of the offense. But overall, he was a journeyman.
Didn't people love him on the radio, too?
He was great on the radio. He's tremendous.
And what was the other wide receiver? Kevin Walter was a fan favorite.
He had the receiving touchdown against Cincinnati to clinch their first ever playoff berth.
Great blocker.
And so because of that, TJ Yates was on my list because Yates won a playoff game for
you. TJ Yates is a good call.
Good call.
TJ Yates is a good call. Somebody said Steve Slater. And I'll go Case Keenum. Case Keenum is my number one.
What about back? You know the Oilers better than me, but what about like a White Shoes Johnson?
That was really good before my time.
Was he?
Yeah, he was really good.
Because they still had Haywood, Jeffries, and Ernest Gibbons.
I don't think they played together, though.
I think that's a different era. Okay. I think that's a different era.
Drew Hill would be on mine.
The first Oiler that came to mind for me was Lorenzo White.
Lorenzo White was awesome. I like the running back after him, but I'm blanking on my name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. Lorenzo White.
Not Highsmith.
No, I think Highsmith was before Lorenzo Wright, or right around the same time. Yeah, I think he might have even been Lorenzo White's backup.
Yeah, they were there at the same time, I believe.
I'm thinking, he wore like 30-something. I used to love that guy.
What about Rob Carpenter?
I don't know the name.
He wore 26.
Yeah, Gary Brown's who I'm thinking
Gary
of.
Brown,
Brown led the Oilers in rushing one year. I loved. He was around the same time as White, too.
Yeah, I think they're only a year or two apart.
Because Lorenzo White led the Oilers in rushing in 92. Brown led them in 93, and then White led them again in 94. But then So they were right around the same time, but I think Gary Brown was a little bit younger, but not quite as good. I think White got hurt that year. But yeah, I liked those guys. Those are my guys.
D'Amico was too good?
Yeah, I think he's too good.
Okay.
I think D'Amico was too good.
What about Antonio Smith? The ninja.
Oh, with the cowboy hat and everything?
He was fun.
Yeah.
Would Gary Walker always do the sword dance when he'd get a sack?
Gary Walker
was a Pro Bowler, though, I think.
Was he?
I think in his heyday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that before the Oilers or the Texans?
No, Gary Walker, I believe, made a Pro Bowl the very first year of the Texans.
Okay. Because they got him, and he was part of the expansion.
I'm pretty sure he made Pro Bowl year one with the Texans.
Okay.
Now, most of his good stuff was before.
Right.
He actually played with the Oilers, too. I didn't realize that.
Did he really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, they might have moved. Maybe it was – no, it says Houston. It says Houston first 2 years, Tennessee 2 years, and then Jacksonville for three. Yeah, he made it the Pro Bowl in his last year in Jacksonville and then his first year in Houston. So that was like the peak of his career, last year in Jacksonville, first year in Houston. All right, what about Astros?
Yeah, Astros, would Billy Hatcher count?
He was really good in his prime.
Yep.
But, yeah, borderline.
Yeah, I had Billy Hatcher. I had Marwin. Marwin's always going to be a fan favorite because of the Dodgers World Series home run.
Yeah. Most people's favorite would probably be Tony Eusebio and Billy Spires.
I had Eusebio on my list.
Billy Spires was my favorite. Billy Spires was my all-time favorite, like, non-superstar Astro. Dude could hit. too. That guy was a good hitter.
I always liked Darryl Ward.
Darryl Ward, pinch hitter off the bench.
Gotcha. Yeah. One tanky hit in Pittsburgh into the river.
Yep. They tried to force him in left field. That wasn't a great experiment.
Yeah,
it was
not
a,
yeah, they tried to hope the wall would save him there with the Crawford boxes, but still not good.
Oh, you know who I loved? Vinny Castilla.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly because of his hair. He had fantastic Lego man.
He was better as a Rocky, but yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, he had a good like half a season in Houston.
What's his name that they got from the A's late in his career, but he was in the All-Star Home Run Derby and everything, and Tejada.
Miguel Tejada. Yeah. Yeah, he was 32 going on 50. When
aged 3 years when he got here.
Yeah, they signed him, and all of a sudden he was 3 years older.
I had
Chucky Carr. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Chucky Carr.
I had Octavio Dotel on my list.
Okay. He was
Dotel because he had different roles, but he was always good.
I thought that might be a little too good.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to nitpick. But
he was really good.
Like, my first impression when you say his name is too good.
He was part... What trade was he involved in?
Well, he went to the Royals.
Was he in the...
But I don't know
he played for like 11 teams.
No, they got Dotel back whenever they got like... they got him from the Mets. I don't remember who they traded. Was it Hampton? I thought Hampton just left in free agency.
He left in free agency to Colorado, right?
Was it Cedeno maybe? Cesar? Not Cesar Cedeno.
He was
Roger Cedeno.
Wasn't he Wag's setup guy for a year or two?
He was. Because, it was the Lidge-Dotel-Wagner combo. And then Wagner left to go to either the Mets or the Phillies. And he got moved up.
Yeah,
he was a starter when the Astros acquired him, and then he started a few games, and then they eventually converted him to the bullpen, and he had an unbelievable career. He lasted forever in the bigs. He was in the Mets. They got him. Yeah, it was Hampton. They traded Derek Bell and Mike Hampton for Roger Cedeno and Octavio Dotel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That worked out pretty good for the Mets.
Yeah, I think Hampton was like a pending free agent, too. Like, I think that it was a rental.
Yeah, it must have been, because then he goes to Colorado
the big money
and
for
his
Colorado.
Career fell apart.
I want to say that was a rental.
What about...
No, because it happened in the offseason. It went at the deadline. It was in the offseason. So,
what about your boy Adam Everett?
Yeah, I loved Adam Everett.
A lot of people loved him.
I was a big Adam Everett guy.
Yeah.
Not a good hitter, but, I mean, really good fielder.
No, I know. He was always... Because that was the era where you had Osmus Everett pitching spot. I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't stand Adam Everett because it wasn't really his fault. I just hated that they were giving up three innings every game.
It's kind of like 7-8-9 now.
Yeah.
The good thing about it then, though, was his premium position pitcher.
Sure.
Now it's like offensive position, offensive position. That's the black hole in the Astros lineup. And Otel was traded in the Beltran trade, too.
I thought he went to Kansas City at one point. Okay.
He was in the Beltran trade.
Yeah, because like I said, he's played like with 11 or 13 teams in his career. But I knew he had more than one stint here, right?
I think it was just the one stint.
Oh, I thought he came back again later in his, if it's possible, later in his career.
No, he didn't. But most of his best years were with, I mean, he was really good forever, but his like formidable best years were in Houston. 2002-2003, it looks like.
Spires was the guy, too, was the punter for Clemson, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other guy that they had? Darren Erstad.
Erstad was late in his career, though.
Yeah, I remember him more as an Angel.
Yeah, and they were bad then. Like, they were bad in the Darren Erstad year. So, like, it really wasn't a time that you're, like, rooting for the Astros a whole lot. Yeah. I think that was part of the 100 lost seasons, was whenever Erstad was here.
He's like the baseball coach in Nebraska,
where he went to school. I know he was. Is he still the baseball coach there?
I thought he was.
He might still be. I don't know if he still is. I do know that he was there. I don't know if he's still there. I'm trying to think of some other guys that I love. Everett. Everett was probably too good, though. Carl Everett was too good.
Another Astro I'll throw in. He sucked, but he won 15 games one year. Jeremy Robertson.
I hated that guy. That guy was so bad.
He was so bad, but every time he went to the mound, they won, so I ended up liking him.
Look up the back of his baseball card.
It's amazing. He won 15 games with like a 5-something ERA.
How many career wins do you think he has?
Beyond the 15-win season?
Jeremy Robertson. If you want to add, it doesn't
28.
Matter.
27.
I'll take the under, I think. I think it's like 22. Jeremy Robertson in his rookie year with the Astros won – it's worse. Jeremy Robertson won 15 games at the Astros
in 2003
with a 5.10 ERA.
Oh.
He pitched the next year 8 games for Cleveland, and he never pitched in the big leagues again. He won one game in 2004. He won 15 games for the Astros with a 5.10 ERA in 2003, and he won 16 games in his career.
Jeez.
He went from a 15-game winner to winning the one game in the rest of his life.
Cy Robertson.
Like, that guy was such a fluke. They would win, like, that was when they had, like, Clemens.
I know.
And Oswalt. Yeah, and they were scoring, like, 2 runs whenever those guys would pitch. And then Jerome Robertson would toe the mound, and they would put up 12. It was the weirdest thing. I couldn't stand that guy.
People love Backy because of the Galveston and everything.
Yeah,
people,
he was clutch
like
in the playoffs, too.
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a real good call.
Yeah. And what was the guy that they got from St. Louis as a pinch hitter? Was it one of, another Palmeiro?
Orlando Palmeiro. The funniest thing about Orlando Palmeiro is that he tried to do laser hair removal on his beard and it like didn't work. And he had like these lines of hair, no hair, hair, no hair, hair for like an entire year.
There was another pinch hitter on that team that I liked as well. I'm blanking on his name.
Jose Vizcaíno?
Maybe.
I think it was Vizcaíno. I think they were on the same team.
Yeah, the 2005 team. There were two pinch hitters that I
It was Vizcaíno.
Yeah, I think it was Vizcaíno. I think you're right.
Yeah, I like Vizcaíno.
He was kind of your Dubon type guy. He didn't play the outfield, but he played all the infield positions.
Yeah, almost never started, but they were in the NL then, so he would like pinch hit, double switch. He could play any position. He was big. His best years were probably with the Yankees. But he was solid whenever they got him.
Yeah, he moved around a little bit, but he always had a job. He played with the rec specs or the goggles on all the time, I think Vizcaíno did.
I don't remember. Something like that, but yeah, I don't think they were rec specs. But
I think it was just like kind of like Ray-Ban, like Oakleys, but eyeglasses. Yeah. Charlie Kerfield says one. I like Charlie Kerfield. Charlie Kerfield was good. Somebody texted me, said Ed Ratliff, Lewis Lloyd, Robert Reed.
Lance loved Lewis Lloyd.
He said for us old guys, that's who he had on them.
The Minister of Love, Bobby Joe Reed.
That was the all-time assist leader in University of Houston basketball. Look at that flex. I was tweeting that one in there.
Our beloved Cougs.
No, I'm saying that's who texted me. Wandy Rodriguez, Dotel has first win at Enron Field. He started that game. James Mouton. I did not like James Mouton.
I didn't like James Mouton.
You know who I didn't like? Somebody in Oso actually just texted him in. He said Michael Bourne and Willie Taveras. I did not like Willie Taveras.
Yeah, I thought about putting him on the list.
So overrated.
Yeah, a lot of people. He batted leadoff for a couple years.
Yeah, they forced him into the leadoff spot. Never walked. Never really had a good batting average except one year in Colorado. Was not a Willie Taveras fan.
One of those guys that always tried to bunt for a hit. Yeah. And drive me crazy.
Like it was better whenever he barely touched. It was better when he had soft contact.
Yeah, it was because he had speed. That's all he really had.
James Mouton, Jose Lima, rest in peace. Kristen Humble. He was really stinking good for one year.
Yeah, he hated the move to Minute Maid.
Yeah, it ruined him.
Yeah, he was a fly ball pitcher.
Yep.
He made a living as a dome.
He was a staple with John and Lance.
Yeah, he was really. Yeah, he was.
And he was funny.
Yeah, he was. I had a great uncle that worked on his house, helped in construction, and he was. Said he loved him.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. I mean, everybody he used to come to all the different sporting events in Houston, and he and his wife and kids, everybody loved hanging out with him.
The first edition of John Singleton. Oh, dang! Somebody said Jerome Robertson died in 2010.
Oh, really?
Maybe I shouldn't say I hate him. I didn't like him between the lines.
Rest in peace. Sorry about that.
I didn't know that he passed away. How did he pass away? Let us know. That's terrible. Yeah, that's young.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 7 years after he won 15 games.
I was about to say, because that was early to mid-2000s when he won 15 games. So that wasn't that long after.
Ooh, way 5-0-3 to go in. Luis Valbuena. Bafli.
R.I.P. him, too.
He's also
along the list. Hank Conger.
Bafli. Hank Conger was fun.
Yeah, Hank Conger.
The robot.
He was only here for like 1 year, too.
Yeah, I think so. Just one year.
The Conger bot.
He's the first base coach of the Twins.
Look at you info dropping.
Right? I mean, is he still?
Yeah.
I knew he was. I didn't know.
Same team,
was.
Colby Rasmus.
Colby Rasmus had that October.
Yeah.
He went Colby
nuts
Jack. In 15.
Yeah. Colby
for that
Jack.
One year,
yeah.
They loved him.
Yep, he went nuts in the playoffs. Like, he was in a home run like every at bat.
He had some cabbage, too.
He did.
Yeah, he kind of looked like the Undertaker.
Didn't he drive to the game in like this old, like, hooped up like 70s car
like
that
I don't remember the details
coming in the parking lot.
I don't remember.
Yeah, and he would let the he would stop and talk to the fans when he rolled into the parking lot with it. It was like a big Lincoln or something.
That's awesome. I think now that you mention that, I do remember something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it looked like, but I do vaguely remember that now that you mention it. All right, 713-780-3776. Is this guy a White Sox player or is he a member of the Chicago outfit, which was led by Al Capone? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's time now for a White Sox. We're a member of the Chicago outfit, also known as the Chicago Mob, also known as the Chicago Southsiders, which White Sox play on the south side of town. In fact,
Joe's favorite team.
In fact, it is. A lot of people think that the White Sox, what do they call them? Their City Connects?
Uh-huh.
character to pay homage of Al Capone and the Chicago Mob and the Southsiders. Just that little old English stuff, which Cal McNair loves. All right. So is this guy a member of the White Sox, or is he a member of the Chicago outfit? First guy, Michael Davis. Who's going first?
I suck. I can go first.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I'm never going to win this thing. Michael Davis sounds like a White Sox player.
Yeah, that was my gut reaction, too, and I don't know, so I'll just go with the gut reaction. I'll say White Sox player.
Incorrect. Michael Davis, known as Mike, was a close associate of Salvatore, who was later one of the bosses of the Chicago outfit, Chicago Southsiders, Chicago Mob.
The boss or like an underboss?
Yeah, I think he's one of the bosses, okay. I believe. Okay. Now, they still have a boss of the Chicago outfit. Sure. I don't know what they're doing nowadays.
Yeah, the mob's not dead.
What are they doing like now?
Produce? I'm sure the same thing they've always done.
You think?
Drugs, prostitution, illegal stuff. Yeah, that's what they always do.
It can't be like as... like.
You don't think people spend money on illegal drugs and prostitution?
Yeah, but I just don't feel like it's as easy popular now.
Or easy to get away with it as it was back
prevalent
then.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can't really make a cop crooked nowadays, I don't think. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's not
read a headline. Read a headline.
Maybe. Yeah, even locally.
All right, next up, Nicky Lopez.
Oh.
Lopez feels like a setup, but I'll go White Sox player.
He absolutely is. He used to play at the Royals.
Nicky Lopez is the second baseman for the White Sox. That's hitting .243 on the year.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it though, because it definitely it's a BMAC move. And who said it?
Yeah, I felt like I was being set up, but I went ahead. Baseball player
Dominic Fletcher.
I'm going to say mobster.
I think that's absolutely a baseball player.
Dominic Fletcher is a center fielder that's hitting .218 for the White Sox this year.
Screw you, Brian.
Who's winning?
I'm up 2-1.
All right. Next up, Antonio Lombardo.
Oh, I'm first. Mobster.
Yeah, I'm going to go mobster as well.
He is. He was a member of the Chicago outfit from 1925 through 1928. Next up, is he a White Sox or is he an outfitter? Dominic Leon.
I'm going to say White Sox.
I'm going to go Dominic. It's a tough one. That could be Italian. I'm going to say White Sox player. I think I've heard Leon and the White Sox before.
That is correct. He's a relief pitcher for the White Sox with a 6.63 ERA.
I just didn't have a Leon fitting in with
the
mob.
Yeah, same thing when we got Lopez.
Yeah, earlier. I screwed up the pronunciation. I wanted to say Leone. I screwed it up.
Yeah.
I told myself earlier when I wrote it down, I wanted to say Leone, and then I got to it and I screwed it
Leone
up.
Leone would have changed my mind.
Yeah, I messed that one up. Albert Vena.
Am I up?
V-E-N-A. Albert Vena.
Mobster.
I'm going to. How many we got left?
This is the second to last.
And I'm up one.
Thanks. I realized that. That's
I'm just
why
I'm, giving you all the information.
What's one more time?
Albert Vena.
I will say mobster.
He is a current street boss in the Chicago. Current.
Current.
Not
a very good.
Not the main boss.
Not a very good mobster if everyone knows your name.
Current street boss in the Chicago outfit.
Learn some lessons from Gotti, letting everyone know your name.
And then the last one, and Anthony Doat.
Joel?
How do you spell that?
D-O-T-E.
I will say White Sox.
I will say White Sox for the gamemanship.
Anthony Doat, it was a bookie in the Chicago outfit. Anthony Doat was a bookie.
I had a shot.
On the Chicago Southsiders.
Well, my record is impeccable in this game.
Your record's impeccable.
I've won a couple times.
Who won?
I did by one.
How many times have you won this game, Brian?
I think this is actually the first time I've won. Joel's won more than I have.
Yeah, I've won it a couple times, but you dominate in this game.
Yeah, Jeremy has dominated this.
All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day, which each and every Friday are the mean things that all the Twitchers, the texters, the tweeters have said to us. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is Brian a segment too late rejoining with us, or is he right on time? Spencer Arrigetti on the mound today, leading off the Astros in this three-game series. They take on the White Sox. Garrett Crochet on the mound opposite. TK saying, hey, 4 or 5 innings for Crochet. That's good news because Crochet's nasty.
I love hearing that.
Arrigetti's been really good. Really good lately. What does Arrigetti give the Astros today?
He's going to go 6 1/3. One.
Well, that's really good.
I'll definitely take that.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll sign up for that.
I like the way he's been rolling.
He's been pitching really good. His stuff's nasty. Like Ocho,
how many Ks? How many Ks we getting, Joel?
We're going to give him 8.
That would be a step down.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go double digits.
He can't keep rolling double digits.
I mean, it is the White Sox.
It is, but still. They're a major league team too, Brian.
They're on scholarship.
Yeah, barely.
They get paid too.
I think they're getting relegated.
I'm going to go double digit strikeouts for Arrigetti.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, he's done it, what? This would be like his 4th time in a row?
He's had 25 over his last 2.
He's been nasty. He's so nasty. Just let Ocho tell you. All right, let's get to all the mean things that all of you have said to us. I don't know.
He always, normally he texts us with his middle name.
Yeah, he likes to use everybody's middle name when he's talking about people. All right. All the mean things you've said to us. There's still time. 713-780-3776. 8736. Is there going to be a Killer Bee Fantasy Football League? I guess it's up to you guys.
I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, what are, there, are we going to have stakes here? 8736. I need to know if we're gonna have stakes. I don't play fantasy football unless there's stakes in line. I'm not gonna get out of bed for free leagues.
Well, if the Twitchers agree to stakes, do you think they'll actually pay?
We'll have to hold it in escrow.
Yeah,
they have to pay beforehand. Maybe 873. You organize it, then you ask us, and if there's stakes, I'm in. If not, I'm not doing that. All right, mean things you said to us. A poor Marine called us toxic jerks, which is actually kind of nice for poor Marine.
I thought he had turned over a new leaf. Not for long.
Well, I think it's a term of endearment, really. Okay. I think when poor Marine calls us toxic jerks, it's like, hey, will you guys be my friends? I think is what he's asking, really. So he had that to say. King of Twitch just moments ago said 3 minutes till blank's weekend. You know, because you've been leaving.
I have been. And because I love this segment so much on Fridays.
Well, you're still here. It didn't really work out that way. Today. This guy texted and said Branham is third on this show. I would say you're right, and I would say if I'm third on any show, that's a dang good show. If I'm third on any show that exists, that show is top notch.
Acknowledge me!
That's what I have to say about it. Yeah. Third best. It's a good show if it's third best, and I agree. Blank saying he undressed coaches. It's dressed down, you goober. Called you a goober. That. Yeah, I think you just kind of slipped. You said that instead of dressed, like being dressed down, you said he undressed.
A little bit different connotation.
I get it. Thanks.
Yeah. My favorite, he called you a goober.
That's a good insult.
It's an underrated
word.
Yeah,
it's underrated.
You goober.
It does soften the blow, too.
A little bit.
You know who I think is a goober? Cal McNair. I think Cal McNair is a goober.
Say that.
Never quit.
Maybe someday he won't be a goober with that attitude.
That's an upgrade from when you
I call him buffoon.
A buffoon.
I think buffoon's more insulting than
goober. Oh, 100%. Without question.
Yeah, I think buffoon's more. Maybe he's graduated from buffoon to goober.
I think that's more lovable.
It's definitely more lovable. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Hey, you're nice. Buffoon's like, you're an idiot. Don't know anything.
No question.
Which
still might be true, but thankfully
probably
he
not sticking out of that hole like he has.
Teachers have to spin, Branham. Stop being ignorant. Sorry. I'm not very smart. I don't know why people expect me to be smart.
You tell everyone you're a one-trick pony, they don't believe you.
I tell people I'm a one-trick pony and I'm not smart, and yet people tell me to be smart. What do you expect from me? What do you expect from me?
One semester as a math major.
It's like expecting it to be cool in Houston during the summer. Like, I am not smart. Stop expecting me to be smart. I will always be ignorant. I can't stop being ignorant because I am ignorant. Sorry. Wheatstraw, he said, they're just shuffling mediocrity. Sounds like other local sports radio stations. Which sports radio stations locally, other local sports radio stations, do you think he'd be talking about? Shuffling mediocrity.
Both.
Maybe so.
Is it both either looking or have made changes?
There is a... recycling nature to sometimes our lineups here in town.
There is.
Yeah, when you look at lineups, it's like, well, that guy's been at every station in town.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, we're guilty as charged here.
I know. I'm just,
Barry Warner.
Okay.
Talk to Barry today, but Barry's been around. He's covered many bases, TV and radio.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's thought of that name in a while other than you.
I have no choice, Jeremy. It's weak.
I ignore people without problem.
He calls, he leaves messages.
I have no problem ignoring people. People call me, I'm like, I'm not answering this. They'll get the message that they better text me. Branham can rot in hell with a smiling emoji.
Wow.
He put the smiling emojis like just
like
completely.
That was gonna soften it?
No, I don't know what to, like, does he want me to rot? Is he joking with me? I'm confused.
That's the most aggressive thing we've
had
on this.
This is actually one that bothers me because it's like, I don't know if he's being mean to me. I can live with the being mean, but then the laughing emoji, now you're playing mind games and now I'm lost. You got in my head. You won. Lance McCullers Jr. from Elite Starter to Elite Coffee Boy. Glad Gag Radio is over for the day. Kyle King thought that Joel had a bad draft. And Joel Blank transformed from angry scowl guy to wait.
To what?
Wait. Like, you didn't change.
Oh.
You are still angry scowl guy is what he was, what he was
and
saying.
And I have to put the blunt down. Something else that I said yesterday.
The blunt?
Yeah. Tell Blank to put the blunt
down. Oh, yeah. I can't remember where that was over. All right. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.